Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and Head Chick in Charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Mortgage Lending Mastery. I'm your host, Jen Duplessis. On today's episode, we have Jeffrey Broger. Let me tell you a little bit about Jeffrey. He is a pioneer in the real estate marketing and technology space, founder of both Steezy.digital, which I'm going to have to talk to you about what that name is, and JJB Multifamily. So you must do some syndications there. That's good. He's been a real estate investor since he was 16 years old. He's at the top 1% of all time sales representatives and sales managers from Cutco. So we know what kind of sales training you had. We definitely get that. And has helped top real estate and mortgage broker clients spend over $1 million on Facebook ads while generating 5 to 25x return on ad spend. Today, Jeff consults 9-figure businesses on their social media ad innovation and direct response copywriting strategies. And where we met is that Jeff had me on his podcast called Lockbox. And I don't even remember when it was, but you now have over 150 episodes. So welcome to this world, but it's for real estate professionals. And you're also a member of EXP, which I am as well. So we certainly understand that world. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jen.
Yeah, you sound like me. You know, what don't you do, right? And I'm sure a lot of people tell you that. And that's what I hear all the time.
Yeah, certainly. What don't you do in the real estate or business world?
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. So I do want to ask you, you know, how'd you come up with the name Steezy? What is that?
Great question. Yeah. So it's a little bit of a shout out to my extreme sports background and upbringing in California. It's an extreme sports term that means style with ease. So extreme sports are one of the only sports that are gauged and judged based on style. Yeah. Actually, you know, like a surfer, you know, dropping into a wave, there's points for certain activities and turns, but actually one of the judging methods is style. So, it just became one of those terms that was used in the industry. And when I started my digital marketing agency, 5 years ago now, I was doing so much research of all the names I could think of in my head, and all of them were already taken.
Yeah.
So I finally came up with that, and I'm like, it's available. All right, I'm going to do that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Isn't that funny? It's funny. I interviewed a guy years ago on my podcast, Jonathan Slane. He has recession.com. And I said, how did you get recession.com?
Wow.
Because I mean, we were, and this was way past the Great Recession, right? He got it, I think, in like 2014 or something. And he's like, believe it or not, it wasn't taken. I mean, sometimes it's just not assuming, right?
Yeah,
right.
Totally. Yeah. Usually nowadays you have to have a forward URL to even get it, you know?
And Yeah. It's just crazy kind of stuff. And So believe me, you know, I'm really active in metaverse and crypto and NFTs right now. I'm doing a lot of investing, creating an NFT myself, and I won't be mining. I think that's the only thing I don't want to do, but as soon as I, you know, was learning about the metaverse, I'm listening to the guy talk and I'm going on to Google and going, okay, I want metaverse concierge, metaverse, MV concierge, MV, because he's showing us how to go through there And I'm going, you know, oh my gosh, I, you know, as he's showing, I go, they need a concierge service on here. He says, welcome to Metaverse. Let's give you a tour. And I thought, oh, I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. So I bought like 25 different versions of all those things so that if someone wants to buy it from me, they can. Yeah.
That's smart.
I know. Well, hey, listen, there's a guy in one of my masterminds. I hold masterminds. I mastermind leader. And one of the guys in my mastermind, he's like, I own dentist.com and I don't really know what to do with it. And we went, what? Wait, what?
So anyway, sell it for like $150,000.
Actually, he's not going to sell it. He's going to license it out so that Dennis can do dentist.com/GenDuplessis, dentist.com/. He's just going to license it out. He's going to make about 7 million.
Wow. Nice. Yeah, even
we
better.
Like, no, you can license it out. You should, you don't need
that's the value of a mastermind.
That's it. That's it. Don't sell it. Don't sell it. So anyway, we digress right away into some all kinds of fun stuff. But that's how the world's going, right? It's moving 100 miles an hour. And that's what we're going to be talking about today is, you know, lead generation for mortgage loan officers and real estate agents, you know, online. And of course, a lot of people hear about this and they're like, another thing on social media, another thing on ad spend, another thing. So let's talk about what makes yours so different and so special. And I'm going to let you take
absolutely
and give my throat a little bit of a rest.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So wouldn't it be nice if rather than getting another social media lead with name, phone, email, who probably doesn't even know who you are, wouldn't it be nice if you actually had an appointment instead? A qualified appointment. Well, after my background with direct sales through Cutco, I realized that that same need as a sales representative, that constant flow of leads was very nice, but then you still had to do all of the follow-up, all of the outbound calls, all of the voicemails, all of the texts to get the appointment set.
Yeah.
And actually our KPIs and our metrics at Cutco were 10 calls to referrals would equal one appointment. Mm-hmm. So that was the flow. It was 10 calls, one appointment, and then a company average 60% closing ratio. Somehow I was able to achieve a 90% closing ratio, but through that, I was then able to have a higher, you know, average order as well and hit the top 1% and all the stuff. But thinking back to that experience, it was leads first, and then it was appointments as the next step in the funnel. Right. I think the common disconnect with lead generation companies is that they're pushing for the top of funnel result to mm-hmm. the mortgage loan officer. They're pushing the leads mm-hmm. rather than pushing the appointments, going that extra step down the funnel and taking all of that follow-up work and all of the, you know, the texting, the immediate response to an internet lead within 5 minutes after they submit, the constant follow-up over 6 to 12 months to convert someone who, you know, just got in last year, but they weren't ready. All that is taken off their plate so that mortgage loan officers can focus on bottom funnel opportunities and appointments that are scheduled on their calendar and confirmed.
Okay. So let me ask you a question about that, because there is a benefit to having all those leads. So are you mm-hmm. stopping those leads from coming in, you know, from a client acquisition perspective, are you stopping those leads from coming in to the funnel or into the CRM, or are they, they're all coming through, but then there's a secondary filter that allows for that appointment to be scheduled? Because I would still want all those leads, because I may not want to call them in 5 minutes, but I would want them to self, what is that word? Self-select. Select. Thank you. Yeah. Self-select or self-identify or self-qualify, you know, themselves. And yep, they came through, but I still want those names. So are the names still in there? Because if I'm paying for them, I still want the names.
Yes. Great question. Yeah. That is where lead filtration comes in, and it's your choice. Some clients don't want to lead until it's absolutely qualified, good phone number, good email, and mm-hmm. an appointment scheduled, or at least someone who has been qualified by our ISA team. Mm-hmm. Now, someone like you, savvy marketer, you understand the value of a lead. You have systems in place to help nurture them, convert them long-term. Yeah. You want every lead. So we send them right to you. I want to be clear that we are not a lead bank that has this generic page that generates this you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of leads and then resells them 10 times, 10 different mortgage loan officers. That's not what we do. Mm-hmm. So sometimes the best way to define what you do is to clearly define what you don't do.
Yeah.
What we don't do is that we don't resell the same lead over and over again. It's different. We actually create a exclusive lead generation source in your business branded to you. We act as your digital marketing agency and help set this up for you, so you don't have to worry about it. So we act on a done for you service basis on a monthly basis. And after we set up these systems that have already been proven in dozens of other markets that we then custom brand to you, they start to work for you. But you own the lead. You own all the data. You own everything that is involved with that lead. And when we go our separate ways, if that happens, we send you the whole lead bank, master lead bank database. You already have them integrated with your CRM. And that's that, right? You have all the data.
Yeah. So do you have your own, and I know this is one of the things that you have, a CRM and reputation management is one of the things that you talk about. But do you have your own CRM or, you know, what platforms can communicate with you as well in your CRM? I'm watching, for those of you that are watching and just listening, you just disappeared. And I'm like, where'd you go? What are you doing?
I had to go throw a little fan on. It's getting hot in this jacket.
It's getting hot in your office. Yeah. So, you know, do you have your own CRM that you, that everyone has to be part of? And then when they export at some time, you know, in space that, you know, they have to have another a CRM that speaks with you directly. I mean, so how does great that question. Work in here?
As well? Great question. I love all these logistics questions because
I'm an engineer.
This makes it real.
I know.
Oh, okay. You're an engineer. So you go one piece at a time. No, that's been, that's a, I love it.
That's a very unknown disc profile of mine. An unknown piece of me. Yeah. Cause I'm mostly an I. Yeah. But I'm an IC. Yeah.
I'm high. So as far as the CRM, we have found over the years that most mortgage loan officers and most real estate brokers have their own CRM that they have been using for a couple of years, or they just switched to one, but they already made the emotional decision and the financial investment, and they're in this process of change already. And then they come to us, hey, we just got this new CRM. We want to ramp up with leads, right? It's either they're set in their ways or they've already switched and now they like don't want to switch immediately again. So in the beginning, we integrated with whatever CRM came our way. You know, we built custom integrations and we still do that today. Actually, I haven't had a CRM come to me yet that I have not been able to integrate with my team. So we make it easy for you. Like we want this to be easy for you. In the recent years, we have also developed a CRM of our own. And there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, you could just think of it as a backup CRM. I mean, we set up a profile for you on our CRM. And if ever anything happened to your CRM or you were sick of them, you wanted to check ours out, you can. It's included with what you pay us on a monthly basis anyway. Right. And so
now I want to just point that out because some people won't see value in it, right? Some they're going to say, okay. Oh, then you have all my data and you know, all that stuff.
Sure. But the scarcity mindset.
Right. But yeah. But what I have to tell you is most loan officers have their CRM with their company. That's where they have their CRM. So if you leave a company and the CRM was, you know, Encompass, and I know it's an LOS, but if it was Encompass that bled into, you know, some, I don't know why I'm having a brain fade on all the CRMs, but let's say it goes to Total Expert. Let's say it goes to Top of Mind. It doesn't matter. Well, you go there. It's all attached to your company. So when you leave your company, unless you have something of your own, everything's with your company.
Yep.
Everything's with your company. And I don't want to cross some line of, well, they really are owned by the company, but are they owned by you? You need to have your own CRM. Period, end of story, you need to have your own CRM. So I want you to hear this because if you do have a backup CRM and your company leaves you or you leave your company, it's all lost. And that's not good, guys. That's just not good.
No, it's such a great point, Jen. Honestly, I mean, technically in that agreement, I'm sure they say that they own all the data associated with your relationship with them. And when, you know, if and when you part ways, they're not going to let you take all your leads. I mean, you'll have some phone contacts you could reestablish with, but it's not going to be this organized database sync that they send you. So as far as I know, maybe, yeah. And so So yeah, having your own is super important. And we do nothing with the data that is unscrupulous. Honestly, it sits there on a profile and we help you remarket to them with emails, texts, and social media. And it keeps it very organized on our side. So then when we are managing your account, the account manager has a clear profile of what's going on and can fix things and can see if, you know, the integration, by the way, goes to yours and ours. So if it breaks, we can see it right away rather than you telling us 3 weeks later, hey, I haven't gotten any leads. And we're like, what? Right. Yeah. We know right away when things are happening. And there's just so many other benefits. We also help with reputation management, which is a huge aspect of online, being able to be found online today. Your Google My Business profile. That's been a more popular topic lately. Well, there's 70 other online listing profiles that you either haven't filled out or they have inconsistent information and it's hurting your search engine optimization score. So when people type your name in and you have two Google My Business profiles with different addresses, you don't have a Yelp listing, you don't have this and that, that all hurts you. And so we help to consolidate and organize all that as well with our CRM.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you do that too, because it's funny, my husband just changed companies. And when he got to the new company, just recently he got onto Facebook, which is funny. And he's a mortgage lender. And because I was always the lead, right? The voice, so it really didn't matter. But we found out that his LinkedIn profile was from a company that he worked at in 2012.
Amazing.
And it still shows that he works there, which I think is hilarious. So we were like, no, that needs to be changed. And of course I'm not involved in it, but I was like, no, that won't go. Yeah, that won't do for you. So let's talk a little bit about branding, because this is, I also want to make sure that we understand, I know we've kind of leaned in the loan officer piece of this, but a lot of real estate agents listen, and loan officers who are listening can present this to their brokers, to the real estate brokers as well, which leads me to, do you have an affiliate program for loan officers to be able to do that?
We sure do have an affiliate program for anyone that wants to help us grow.
Okay. So for those that don't understand what affiliate program is, that you get a little bit of commission for referrals. It's not a referral of a deal. Mm-hmm. So this is not a violation of RESPA. This is just a referral to a platform. But branding is really dear to my heart. In fact, it's one of my first, it's first and second of my five strategies, my principles for cracking the top producer code, which, the first is clarity and the second is credibility. Part of clarity and credibility at the same time is you have to understand who you are and what you want to be to the public, right? And then go grab the credibility by having the consistency. And I call it continuity, because it's a little bit different than consistency, but continuity in taking your brand out there. And I do it by a very unique mechanism, which I'm not going to share on the podcast right now, but how do you do it? How do you pull the brand out for someone? Because as you know, in our industry, it's very incestuous. I've shared this story before, but I do feel I need to share it. I mean, you just asked me how many podcasts I have, and I don't know how many. I'm probably 800 or so. I don't remember when I said this, but there was this one time that this guy said, hey, I want to be your friend. He asked to be my friend on Facebook. And I always go and check people out because I'm pretty high profile and I got to be careful. So I'm checking this guy out. And I go there and I see that he has this ribbon, this is a while ago, this yellow ribbon that I had created. It cost me $500 to create, that says, it's a yellow ribbon and it says experience matters. Okay. And this was sort of part of my branding. And the yellow ribbon was for veterans and for the fact that, I have empathy for people, and that was the whole purpose behind it. And he had put that on his cover page for his Facebook. He'd cut and copied it. And we know in this industry, we always say, don't reinvent the wheel, right? Steal, rape, and pillage, but give people the kudos for having created it,
Sure.
But he had it on there. And as I'm poking through, I'm like, hey, you stole it without asking. But then as I'm poking through, he had been in the business for like 6 months, less than 6 months. And I thought, yeah, experience matters, and you don't have it, right?
Right.
So you have to be careful about what we do like in others. And that's why I'm asking this. And so I'm sorry for the long setup, but the reason I'm asking this is a lot of times when people come to me and we talk about their branding, they share with me, and companies will ask me, you know, show me some ideas of what you like. And I don't like sharing that because what I like may not be my brand. And so they'll come to me, and I think this is a major issue with companies, is show me some ideas of what you do like. It's more what I don't like, as you have said before, right? You know, so if in this particular case, it's like, don't take the things that you like because it may not align with you. And so that's why we work on alignment so much in what I do with coaching. So tell us a little bit about what you do in branding to pull this out of people. How do you determine who they are?
You set me up. So now I can knock out of the park.
Sorry.
No, it was great. So I'd like to touch on three topics.
Yeah.
The first topic is storytelling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. With branding. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you a story?
Yes, please.
Excellent. I was fresh out of college, came back from Northern Arizona University to Southern California, and I was referred to offer sales consulting for a branding startup right out of college because of my experience with Cutco. They knew my 6 years of direct sales background, 70-year-old company that had instilled amazing sales practices in me. And I had then been a sales manager at Cutco as well. So my experience was relevant despite my young age of 22, fresh out of college. And I came in and there was this branding company that was rebranding K through 12 schools because K through 12 schools in the 80s and 90s, they needed logos and mascots as they were growing. And so what did they do? They went to the ones that were on TV and that were in colleges. Well, it wasn't
Bumblebee,
a problem.
For the Wildcat. Yeah.
The Longhorn was my high school.
Right. Yeah.
And it was the exact Texas Longhorns logo. Exact. Total rip.
Right.
And so in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, not a problem. In the 2010s, you invent the internet and not invent it, but it has exploded and people have it on their phone and everything. Well, now it's a problem because University of Texas has a TV network, right? They are very protective of their brand.
Okay. And now they're seeing IP. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're seeing a maroon Longhorn, not a burnt orange one, a maroon Longhorn with a pixelated logo in a high school in San Diego. Mm-hmm. Well, my high school was actually one of the examples of a high school that got a cease and desist letter from the University of Texas. Mm-hmm. Now they have to rebrand. Super interesting niche. The founder of this company had come from pharmaceutical branding, doing $100,000 brand packages plus for pharmaceutical companies like Humira and you know, huge multi-billion dollar brands. That was his experience in branding. And then he saw this niche. So he created this company that would subsidize the cost for K through 12 schools down to about $5,000 and still offer the full corporate branding experience from scratch, from inception of the idea of what their mascot could, should look like, feel like, you know, based on whether they're a elementary school, middle school, or high school, the mascot got slightly more aggressive or masculine or whatever you want to call it. It was like super friendly and lovable as elementary school mascot. And then it was like the same mascot, but more grown up as the high school mascot, like every little detail. Right. And so I had to learn their branding process in order to then sell it. And that was my first experience with the power of branding and the difference between a brand is not a logo, right? A logo is a logo, which is an element of branding. A brand should have its own identity, should have its own social security number, its own voice, a way that it speaks. You could say today, Nike would probably say this about that. What is Nike? Nike's a corporation, right? But you kind of have this feeling for what Nike's comment would be on a social issue. Right. That's branding. And so that's the first story and the element that I wanted to convey there is the power of storytelling.
Yeah.
Because stories are how humans learn and retain information.
Yeah.
So what's your brand story? That's really the first step. Mm-hmm. Because I told what I just said in that first point in a story-like fashion, probably a lot of your listeners will retain it much more than if I would have just rattled off a bunch of facts or examples. Because there was a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Oh, believe me.
And there was this whole journey through it.
Flips through a TV and they see a Longhorn. They're like, oh, is that the real one? The not the one? The one? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now, and there's triggers every time you know, your listeners hear Longhorns or see a Longhorn, they're going to think about this story and think about this podcast,
that's
right?
What I mean.
There's so many anchor points. So that's the first step, is I align with the mortgage loan officer, with the real estate professional who wants to do this branding project. And I get out of their head onto paper in a very clear, concise fashion, their hero's journey, right? The hero's journey is the most common storytelling framework used. Think of any blockbuster movie, Disney movie.
Anything,
It's anything. It's the hero's journey.
Yeah.
We use that in our branding process to create a hero's journey for our client that is specific to their real estate experience. And it builds this sense of, now here's the second point, trust.
Yeah.
Trust, trust, trust. Trust is the number one thing as real estate professionals that you need to evoke within your perfect prospect. And this comes from extensive branding experience. I mean, I've paid for consulting from brand advertisers with decades of experience way before I was even born. And they have put together this incredible system that distills down your type of business into the exact emotional trigger that you need to trigger within your client in order to have them buy from you or choose you over the other competition. And in a real estate transaction, which people rarely do, every 5-10 years, maybe, it has huge financial consequences if it's done wrong. And they are less interested with the shiny new object rather than with someone that they can trust. Trust is the number one thing that you need to evoke within them. So what is more trust building than a compelling story that's true and that exemplifies all of the experience you bring to the table based on your journey? Right. One of the best ways to evoke trust.
Yeah. I'm going to interject here on this because, you know, I talk about this all the time with my clients is, you know, the know, like, and trust factor. We know about that in selling, but I don't think that a lot of people really understand the depth of where it goes. And I teach on this quite extensively, which is, you know, they know what you do.
Maybe.
Right. They know what you do by your title, and we leave it there. And we're like, well, they know I'm a mortgage person. They know I'm a realtor. Come on. Why am I not getting business? They know what I do. They might like you, you know, they're cordial at a networking event. They might like you. But the reason that the sales don't happen is because we never get ourselves to trust. And the trust piece of this is that they don't know, they don't need to know what you do. They need to know who you are. And so often in our industry, we have this facade of professionalism that it doesn't allow people to get in. We just merely allow for ourselves. We reverse stereotype ourselves into, I'm a lender, you know what I do, so send me business. I'm a realtor, you know what I do, so send me business. But people won't send that business until they understand who you are. So can I tell a story?
Yes, please.
I am serious about this. So years and years ago, when I was young, I was probably 25, 26. At the time, I had a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I was a hottie patati youngie. And I was doing sales for NAGAM loans, you know, for World Savings. And you know, that's when they were called World Savings before they went on to Wachovia and B of A and all that stuff. And I was doing these NAGAM loans, and I was called a PMB. It's a preferred mortgage broker. It wasn't, it's a pre-definition of wholesale lending, right, I guess. And I walked into these companies, you know, and I was trying to be professional. And I actually had to really struggle with this as a woman in a man's male dominated industry. There were very few originators, that type of thing. And it was a cute thing. And so I really had to show my strength, right? And so put the facade on, no, I'm strong. I'm not going to share anything personally. I'm only going to talk business. And so I was doing that, and it was working for me because I was top in the company, and it was working, but I happened to mention something about one of my kids, to somebody, and a guy down the hall who was sitting in his chair, pushed himself backwards out through the hallway, right? And caught himself on the arms, right? So he's pulling himself back and catches himself on the doorway, leaning back in his chair. And he's like, Jen, you have kids? And I said, yeah, I have kids. Why? And he goes, well, I just thought you were some young chick who was spending all her money, you know, in this lending business, spending all her money going partying. If I had known you had kids, I would have given you business years ago. right?
Oh, wow.
And so what do you think I did after that?
Started sharing your whole life.
I came in with the pictures, right? The old fashioned, like, look at my kids, look at my kids, look at my kids. Yeah. You know, in because we have this perception of how people are perceiving us, that we change who we are. Lesson learned, big lesson learned on that. Yeah.
Wow. So can I now share the third?
Yes.
Yes. That was a great story, by the way. And it also leads into this point. So we talked about storytelling, the power of it. We talked about trust is really the goal. The goal is to evoke trust. Mm-hmm. Well, now the third point is now you need to be consistent with that. The authority type brand, which is what real estate professionals are, by the way, the ones that need to evoke trust, that do a transaction that has high financial consequences if done wrong, and it happens rarely throughout someone's lifetime. That's an authority brand. Mm-hmm. Well, the inherent nature of the beast, if you will, is that they need to advertise more consistently and market more consistently than any other brand out there. Because they need to stay top of mind and continue to remind their following and their past customers that they still are the one to trust. If you have an inconsistent message and you do it inconsistently, who's going to remember? That's why almost 80% of the people who buy a house from a real estate professional today in 4 years can't remember that person's name and then go to the next first person that they meet. Yeah. Why is that? Well, that's consistency is so important in this whole world. And that's why my agency really focuses on branding and then advertising, because that's that other piece. You know, the advertising encompasses both email, text, marketing, as well as then social media advertising and paid advertising, because it's all part of the whole ecosystem to stay in front of people after the leads generated, but then also your database is probably not even being nurtured to the degree that it could be and reminded. There's transactions that you're missing out on right now today from your existing sphere because they're not being nurtured with valuable content. And the message of your brand story and all of the promises, the brand promises that are made, aren't being consistently put out to market and getting in front of them, in front of their eyeballs on their phone, which is where people spend their time nowadays, right? So that's really that last element is consistency. And it's the hardest one.
Yeah, I think it is too. And we talk about it a lot. You know, we have a tendency, I think a lot of people, and so I don't mean to discredit mortgage or real estate, but I think it's in sales generally, you know, in all businesses, small businesses, entrepreneurship, et cetera, is that in sales is that we get a lead, we close business, we get a lead, we close business, and it's linear to people. And one of the things that I coach on is infinity, right? The infinity sign, because if we can create a great experience for a client and then create loyalty by having the continuity or consistency on the backside of nurturing our clients rather than neglecting them and being ready for the when, right? Being ready for when they are ready or nurturing them to trigger them because they don't have awareness. And again, getting back to authority, you know, they don't have awareness that maybe you'd have to be crazy to not know you have more equity in your home now, but maybe if they didn't know that they had more equity in their home at this particular time, that you could be the trigger to put them back into the infinity, you know, to the process, the marketing piece of it, of making a decision of brand selection, et cetera. And this is why I don't call past clients past. And most people think of past client as PAST. When I say past clients, I'm talking about clients that in your opinion have passed away, PASSED, because you decided that you weren't going to talk to them anymore. When you went to the closing, you closed the casket on your relationship. So I call them alumni, because what do alumni do? They talk it up, they root for you, they endorse you, and they bring more money back to you, right? They donate to you, right? A true alumni situation, which means that they're going to come back and they're going to spend more money with you. So I will never say past client. I will always say alumni client. And when you have that framework, then you're already in your mindset that they are coming back and that you need to take the action to bring them back.
Wow, that is so great. I love that, Jen. Just the mindset shift of past client, yep, closed them, on to the next. Such a salesperson mentality. And I could say that.
Yeah.
Because I was that.
I was that person.
I did the hardest part, which is closing someone brand new from scratch. That is the hardest part of sales.
Yeah.
And after you have actually closed them, they are 17 times more likely to buy from you in the future.
Yeah. And yet we close the casket. And yeah, we bring I went on to the next.
And I kept that uphill grind forever. And I never, at least in my early experience, created that flywheel or that infinity loop where it starts to get easier over time. That's the idea, right? Business, it can't always be this hard.
Yeah. Right. And that's my whole acres of diamonds that I talk about, is that we have acres of diamonds beneath us, and, you know, we just need to pick them up, and that one diamond dropped can create a ripple, you know, and why make a ripple when you can make a splash, right? With every single contact that you have. So, yeah, I love that. So tell us a little bit as we kind of wrap up here, because I wanted to make sure that, you know, people know that yes, you have a product to sell, and many of you know on this podcast that, you know, I won't bring on product people. You know, like, hey, I have a product and that's it. I want to find out behind it, how it's going to change your life, how it's going to change your mindset. It's not just buy a product, but how it can actually change your life. Right.
Yes.
And I think that we've done that here, because you're really seeking and finding out, you know, what their story is, you know, how the world sees them, you know, and then developing that trust and confidence. So tell us a little bit about the product, so that those that are listening are saying, yes, I need this. I need something that's uniquely different. How do they get the product? What kind of offer are you going to make for my listeners? And take it away from there.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you for that. I understand from the years of personal development that I've done that you do not get something for nothing. If you do for a little while, the universe will quickly correct itself and correct that mistake. You have to bring value to the marketplace in order to get something in return. And with that understanding in mind, I know that clients have to get ROI to stay on their advertising, and they have to get extreme value to do the branding process and then leave a positive review and have a positive experience. So really what we offer is branding and advertising. It's kind of a two-phase process. First phase is we do your branding, and that typically is a complete branding process where we get you a 30-page corporate level, amazing brand book that is beautifully designed, has your brand story, manifesto, mission, vision, values, everything in one document. And the second phase is then advertising. So we can take that brand book, transform it into a brand story video, and bring it to market, as well as do other direct response advertising on your behalf on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. And so the best way to learn more is to have a free strategy session with myself or one of my team members. Go to steezy.digital, and we offer the first consulting session free. I've offered consulting for 9-figure real estate businesses. I offer the first consulting session free for anyone from, you know, Jen that comes here. And past that, if you mention that you came from the Jen Duplessis podcast, remember this, because it'll save you some money. I'll actually offer you a discount on services as well, not just on the branding, but on the ongoing services as well, which, I mean, we're getting a 5 to 25X return for a lot of our clients, and I'm sure you'd be the same. Well, with a little bit of a discount on what you're paying, that ROI gets even higher. So hopefully that's valuable to your listeners.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for offering that to them. I really appreciate that. And I think we want to leave with something you and I were talking about in the green room, right? And so I'm just going to preface it and let you kind of take it away. And that is specifically for, well, I'm going to say specifically for loan officers at the high level, but then this also applies to real estate agents. But knowing that loan officers are paid a W-2, you know, unless you're listening and you're the broker owner, right? But loan officers are paid a W-2, 100% commission. And, you know, and real estate agents are on a 1099. So there's a little more flexibility in realtors to be able to create branding, at least the perception of that. Now, I don't agree with that at all, because my brand's been out there for 20 some years as the Kearney team, right? The Kearney Lending Team. And that's simply my son, Kirk, and my daughter, Whitney's names combined. That's all it is, because everything we do is for them. So it's called the Kearney Team. And that's why we created that brand, and that then we can tell people about our kids and all that good stuff. And, you know, it just continues to go on. I've been out of the business now 4 years, and I continue to get referrals that I have to send on to my husband and my daughter, who are part of the Kearney Team, right? Because it just kind of sits there. One of the things I need people to understand is that this is you incorporated. You should be branding you, not the company that you hang your license at. So with that said, maybe you can speak to this and how important that you feel this is, and give us one last, you know, tip or idea here that we need to walk away with, so that this creates not an impulse. It's not influence. I mean, it's not, manipulation. This is an influence for you to understand the importance of taking action to create this for yourself.
Yes. Thank you for that lead in. Great question. So we were talking before the show about how the industry in a whole is evolving into hanging your hat, whether you're on the real estate side or the mortgage side, on this larger company or bank's brand. Mm-hmm. And it's distilling down more towards a personal brand. However, not a personal brand that's based on your name. Mm-hmm. So that's another key. I love how the Kearney, I was curious about that.
Yeah. Kurt, most people think we're Irish. Oh, is that Kearney? No.
Right. Yeah. But also that is a brand that has a great story. Now that I know it, that's awesome. And you could pass it on in the future. You could hand that on. And so, you know, the brand, it should be, you know, one of the ones that I think of right off the top of my head is like porch light, like something like that. Mm-hmm. Lockbox, right? Mm-hmm. I thought of a particular niche aspect of my industry that everyone in the industry understands the moment that they see it, and that no one had labeled a podcast about yet.
Right.
One of those little subtle details that's mm-hmm. industry jargon or something that only they would talk. But you don't want to do an industry jargon type of brand for a consumer facing product. I was attempting to catch the attention of mortgage loan officers and real estate professionals with my with my podcast. So in branding, I would encourage you to think about that. Think past your name.
Yeah.
And I would think something along the lines of a consumer experience or a widget or something that's used in the industry commonly, that even if the consumers call it something wrong and they self-identify as like, I'm a dog lover homeowner. What, I don't know, whatever the thing is that they've labeled themselves. You do your research. It should click where you're like, oh, that would be a great brand name. And then add a nice slogan to it that tells what you do. I think having something like that will really help not only separate yourself in a healthy way from your larger corporation that you work with, the bank or the cloud brokerage or whatever it is, it'll help separate you in a healthy way from that, but it'll also be much easier to pass down in the future. If you're thinking exit strategy and long-term, you could actually successfully exit that franchise or brokerage or whatever you build, and it's not tied to your name, right? That's one of the things that I see when I get my 50, 55-year-old real estate clients, and they built a 20-year brand around their name. Now they want to exit. They're having difficulty doing that. And not only is their sales volume taken out of the valuation, but their name is on the door.
Yeah.
So,
and I've seen that, you know, I've seen that in my area. We have a real estate agent called Linda Sells Herndon, right? I mean, that's what she does. Linda Sells Herndon. She has all the listings, you know, but when it's not her, you know, who is it? And I think that, and I know I experienced it as a real estate agent that I worked with. And then when I put my house on the market, she had another realtor call me by the name of Ginger. And I was like, well, where's Linda? Right. And I know this is a challenge that we have, right? It's a challenge that we have in our industry I think it's a limiting belief that a lot of real estate agents and loan officers have, that, you know, they want you. Well, they don't want you. They want the experience you provided them. So if you can duplicate that through a team, then that's all that matters. And I'm proof in the pudding, right? I went from 50 million to 100 million to 112 million in production using a team, because it wasn't Gen Duplass's team, right? Mm. And I think that that's super, super important. You know, there's another person that did that here. And what ended up happening is that when she retired, she had to fly back from Florida up to Virginia every quarter to make an appearance at something so that everybody felt that she was still around, because when she started moving away, business started falling away and it didn't work, right? Because it was her name. So I love that you're saying that. What I want to ask you, another follow-up question. We could have left it at that, but what I want to ask you as a follow-up question on that is, can you give us an example, because now it's branded for somebody, so nobody can mm-hmm. take it. Can you give us an example of a real estate person who has branded themselves with you and what name they use, and a mortgage person who has branded themselves with you and what name they use? So we can kind of get an idea. Because as you were saying, you know, it's something that, you know, even if the client says it wrong, I love Porch Light. You know, I get the idea. I mean, I could say deck, but I started stumbling onto, I don't really know what I would use. So can you give us an example of what you have created that is already trademarked that no one else can take?
Great question. I'm glad that this conversation is stimulating so many follow-up questions from Jen. That's how you know it's a good conversation. So I'll be 100% transparent. And I talked to Jen about this at the beginning of the podcast. I've found that the branding offer has not resonated with my mortgage loan officer clients, and they've gone straight into advertising historically. Mm-hmm. My branding process has resonated more with real estate professionals. Like you said, they have more autonomy. They're used to that. Mm-hmm. And so
lenders are missing
the mortgage loan officer side, I don't have a specific example, although okay. I would love to. I think it's super relevant, and that more mortgage loan officers should do this type of branding. Mm-hmm. And the real estate side, Jason Lee Multifamily was a good one. Now, he does incorporate his name, but that evolved into JLM.
Yeah.
Right. So JLM then mm-hmm. is, you know, Jason Lee Multifamily sounds like it rolls off the tongue nicely. It says on the 10 what the business does, right?
Right.
But also JLM now is kind of like more of a timeless acronym.
More of an enterprise.
Yeah. Of that. Yes, exactly. And so then JLM.realestate ended up being the URL, which is great. And so that one, we went through the full brand story.
So we don't have to make it so fussy as just to maybe have it be, you know, something that's really, really quick. You know, it was funny. My daughter, she was not happy when I did Kerr-nee. And I said, well, Whitney and Kirk, I said, we could do work, WHIRK, which we did. By the way, and that is a property management company for our real estate, and it's called Work.
Nice. So you did do that.
Did, when she didn't like the name, she goes, it's not as cute. And I go, well, you wanted it. So yeah. So we have a company called Work, WHIRK. And that's why it's called that, you know, it's just taking combinations and names, I think isn't a good way to do it. Or I'm going to throw out another idea, acronyms. You know, the most recent book that I just, not recent, well, that I did, that I let, now it's second to last one I did. I've done 12 now, 12 number one bestsellers, is called Impact, right? And it's an acronym book. And the word impact is an acronym, inspiring, motivational, right? I am inspiring, motivational, powerful acronyms for cognitive thinking. And every chapter is an acronym, and it's a story around the acronym. So if you can create an acronym, that'd be a great name.
I have a good one.
Yeah.
So I mentioned earlier dog lover homeowner, but that wasn't quite there. So let's evolve on that. So if you happen to be a mortgage loan officer and you told me the story that, you know what, my best friend, the biggest inspiration growing up, had kind of a rough childhood, it was my dog. Like, I love mm-hmm. dogs. Yeah. And I could say, well, guess what? About 180 million other people in the United States also love dogs.
Now there's a certification.
Dog lover loans.
Dog lover loans. Yeah.
There you go. Right.
That's it. And what you do is that they self-select, like you're saying, you know?
Yeah.
It's and this is, it's funny because this is something that I talk about a lot. As well as that, you know, I love peanut butter cookies. So as in a marketing perspective, I should just be talking about peanut butter cookies. That's what marketing is. It's marketing your niche, right? Marketing what you love to do.
That's awesome.
I'm going to market peanut butter cookies. And if you don't like peanut butter cookies, then you won't come through. No, but that's that filter I was telling you about. It's like, ooh, but there might be something there, you know, because I want to be able to tell them, hey, I do make chocolate chip cookies and I do make oatmeal cookies, but my favorite and where I'm the expert at, right?
Yep.
Is in peanut butter cookies.
Which and is I great. Because it's a trigger.
Yeah. It's the trigger. But so, you know, that's one of the challenges without marketing and having that brand is that you're marketing to everybody, which means you're marketing to nobody. And so you have to pull that in, you know, and then you can tell them, yeah, I do all these other things. Come on. I do them all, but this is my expertise.
Yep.
This is where I really fly.
Almost no mortgage loan officers or real estate professionals have gone to the depth of market research and inside themselves to what we do in our branding process. Every single time that I've done it, there's this aha clarity moment and this burst of inspiration from the person I'm doing it with, because it goes down to the deeper layers of, wow, that is my story. Wow, that is why I do everything that I do. It's powerful. It's a powerful process to go through, and you'll leave that branding process so inspired to go conquer the world. It's like going to a personal development conference, except it happens over a couple of Zoom sessions and some very curated questions, and it just digs so deep. And then you end up after that, you don't just show up after that from a personal development conference with nothing. You then have a 30-page brand book from that result, and you can now take that to the world.
Now you can scale your team because you have a brand book. You don't have to go, well, I don't say this and I say this and I don't say that.
Right.
I think it's really cool. You and I are going to talk about affiliate, because I think you need to have your branding program needs to be in my coaching, because it'll mirror very well with what I do in branding. Because my number one for my five principles is clarity. And the second one is credibility, which together is branding. Right.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah, let's talk.
I love it. Okay, how do we get a hold of you? The best way to get a hold of you.
Yes. So best way to get a hold of me, look for Steezy Digital online. I actually make myself pretty accessible. So you can just Jeff@Steezy Digital, really easy. And there's no .com. I know I didn't think it was going to be need explanation so many times. When I found the company, I was like, .digital, that's cool. Like everyone, it'll be futuristic. Everyone gets it. But then I'll get these inevitable responses like, hey, your email isn't working. Jeff@digital.com. No. So it's Jeff@steezy.digital. Steezy is STEEZY. Or you could just type in Steezy Digital, Jeff Broger online, you know, Google. I make myself easy to find.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. I mean, look at there's .clubhouse, right? Not Clubhouse, but .club. Because when I'm on Clubhouse, that's what I give away is .club. GenDuplus is .club. Yeah. That's crazy.
Awesome. You're awesome, Jen.
Well, you're awesome too. Thank you so much, Jeff. And thank you so much for having me as a guest on your podcast. I don't remember the episode number, but you guys can go there and listen. And, you know, I don't know when it was. I bet I was number 100-ish.
Yeah, it was like 6 weeks ago. Yeah, 8 weeks ago. So yeah, you were like episode 120 or so.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Something like that. Okay. Sounds good. Well, again, thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thanks so much for taking time out of your day to listen. And I just want to remind everyone to go to kineticsparkconsulting.com/launch, and you can get a free copy of my book. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, where you can see us talking rather than just listen to us. And last but not least, please give us a great 5-star rating and write a quick little review. All you got to do is write a few sentences and away you go. So we appreciate you listening in, and we hope that you have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets, fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.